That there's no preach in you, right? Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter morning, Matthew chapter number 17. I'm rejoicing in the good revival that God gave us last week. You'll hear a little bit more about that in this evening service. But the Lord met with us. There's no doubt about it, especially Friday night. If you missed Friday night, you missed it. And the Lord's been good to us. You know, it's precious when the sweet presence of the Lord shows up in a place. And you feel Him, and you just think. Now, I don't know about you, but I cry like a baby when I feel the presence of God. Some people shout, some people cry, some people, whatever, they claim they foam out the mouth. I have a hard problem believing that, but anyway, one of these days we're going to be with the Lord Himself in glory. I'm looking forward to that day. Praise the Lord for it. We're going back to our series. Remember, I've got three series going. And we're going back to our series today on the mountains of the Bible. The mountains of the Bible. We come to Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, if you will, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. By the way, there's our memory verses for next week, verses 7 and verse 8 there. They came down from the mountain. Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision of no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the phrase in verse number 1. It's my title, my topic, my theme, and my text this morning. It's the phrase, an high mountain apart. An high mountain apart. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, what it means to us today. Thank you that we can bow our heads with the surety and faith and belief, knowing that you are our Father. And I pray that you help me to preach this morning. Father, thank you for meeting with me today. And I pray that you'll meet with us again in this hour. Bless those who are visiting. Speak to them. Bless us who are here, Lord God. This is not our first time, but we've come back to this place. Speak to us. Thy will be done, we pray. Forgive my sins. Please bind Satan, Lord, away from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. In our progress in this series involving Bible mountains, wonderful truths come shining through for our undivided attention. Now today we come to another mountain that is identified here as an high mountain apart. Now this is probably better known as the Mount of Transfiguration, for it was on this mountain that the Lord was transformed before the eyes of His disciples. Now this account can also be found in Mark chapter 9 verses 1 to 13 and Luke chapter 9 verses 27 to 36. Now by way of introduction, it's appropriate that we take a moment to identify the immediate context of this text. In other words, before we get on the mountain in chapter 17, let us notice the things that took place right before it. That takes us back to Matthew 16. Now in Matthew 16, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but you'll notice that this is the chapter where we see Peter giving his confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Christ said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Not Peter, but upon his confession, he is building the church upon himself. He is the rock called Jesus Christ. Then the lovely Lord Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem to suffer, to die, and to rise again. Peter, this is all chapter 16, Peter takes him and begins to rebuke him. But the Lord turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Then the Lord proceeded to tell his disciples that if they were going to come after him, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. Finally, in verse number 27, we see the Lord giving a promise that he shall come in the glory of his Father, angels. Setting that we have as we come to this particular mountain. In other words, the Lord, now get this now, the Lord is telling his disciples that glory was coming, but a cross must come first. And as we think of this, we come to our text in which Peter, James, and John go with the Lord up into an high mountain apart. Now Luke tells us that the Lord went up into that mountain to pray. And it's on this mountain, now get it, it's on the mountain when they came apart from the world that one of the greatest events in history took place. It's on this mountain that the Lord Jesus Christ gave these disciples a preview of what he said in chapter 16. He was telling them that I'm coming again with glory. And yet he takes his disciples up, three of them, and he's saying in a nutshell, I want to give you a preview of what it's going to be like when I come back to this world. Now listen to me. It's on this mountain that the Lord Jesus Christ verified that what he had just said would happen, that he was coming in glory, it will one day happen and take place. Now, as I was studying this mountain, it seemed as if the Lord Jesus Christ was put on display for our complete attention. By the way, you can't get any higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this text, he's on every page, but this text right here, it centers in on him and him alone. Now, there are several things about Christ that I want us to see in our text today. And as we study the Lord Jesus Christ, it should be a blessing to those who know him. At the same time, it should be a motivation to those who do not know him to trust him today. Now, there's four things in our text about the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, let's notice the transfiguration of him. The transfiguration of him. Look at verse 1 and following. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth him up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now, verse number 1 tells us that they went up into a high mountain apart, and while they were on this mountain, the Lord Jesus was transfigured before them. This word transfigured comes from a word where we get the word metamorphosis, which means to change form. Now, verse number 2 tells that his face did shine as the sun. I don't know about you, I'd like to have been there to see it. By the way, if you know him, you're going to see it some glorious day. But his face shone like the sun. You know, there's an interesting several verses found in Psalm 19, verses 4-6. It says this, their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He is the sun's going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit under the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. I'd love to have been there when the face of Jesus shone like the sun. Verse 2 also tells us that his raiment was white as the light. Verse 3 tells us that his raiment became shining white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Luke 9 tells us that his raiment was white and glistening. That means it was radiant. It was shining. It was shining brightly. You know, in my study, it came out, and this was a blessing. By the way, I'm plowing to some major thoughts. Stay with me here. But it came out, lest you understand, this light did shine on him. It shined through him. In other words, this light was radiating from his inside, and his body couldn't contain it anymore, and his face shone like the sun. His garments were white as snow, and he was formed, transfigured, and changed forms right before their very eyes. I'm going to tell you something, that's exciting to think about that. Just as a caterpillar would come out of its cocoon, a beautiful butterfly, on that day the glory of God burst through Jesus Christ. Oh, what a sight that must have been. Wouldn't you like to have been on the Mount of Transfiguration? Are you listening to me? We are there now by the eyes of faith. Number one, the transfiguration of him. Number two, let's notice the talking with him. Look at verse number 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Now in this verse, we see an interesting thing taking place. Moses and Elijah appeared on this mountain and had a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, side note, coming right back here, side note, they had already been gone for years. Now, Elijah didn't die. He was taken out of this place. Sound familiar? Moses died and God buried him. But here they are alive and doing just fine, speaking with Jesus Christ. This ought to thrill your heart. Have a saved loved one who has died in the Lord. They're doing just fine this morning. And someday you're going to see them again. Luke chapter 9 shares with us the topic of their conversation. You know what they were speaking of in Luke chapter 9? They were speaking of his decease. You can look at it later, Luke chapter 9, that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Now it's interesting, you know what the word decease means in Luke? When it says they were speaking to him about his decease, you know what it means? It means his exodus. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Maybe the exodus in the Old Testament? I'm talking about Moses, who was used to lead the nation of Israel in a mighty exodus out of Egyptian bondage. The Lord Jesus Christ, with his death, was going to lead sinful man in an exodus away from his sin and in the... And I'm telling you this morning that they were talking to Jesus about his death. Wouldn't you love to listen in on that? Wouldn't you like to hear Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus about his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension? Can't you just imagine listening in on that wonderful conversation? Elijah were representing the prophets, the Old Testament, if you will. They were there to testify that everything they stood for was going to be fulfilled in his great sacrifice on Calvary. If you remember, one of the visitors also led in an exodus. His name is Moses. And I'm simply telling you here that could it be that Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus about his death, his burial, his resurrection, that it would set men free from their sin. Romans 5, 6 through 8, and we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Revelation 5, 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I'm simply trying to show you some things about the Lord here on the Mount of Transfiguration and high mountain apart. We've noticed the transfiguration of him. We've noticed the talking with him. We notice the testimony about him. In verse number 4 and 5, look at it. Then answered Peter and said unto the Lord, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. Now the book of Mark tells us that he spoke, but he didn't know what he was saying. You can read it later. Mark chapter 9 says, when Peter spoke, he wist not what he was saying. He was just blabbing out of his mouth what he was doing. I mean, can't you imagine? The Lord is transfigured right before your eyes. His face is shining as the sun. His raiment is glistening and radiant and white as snow, where you can't get it any whiter. And all of a sudden, there's Moses. They're talking about it. Peter steps up and says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Now, what I recommend is that we go into a building program. You know something's wrong with that, right? We go into a building program, and what I recommend is that we build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was trying to put the Son of God on the same plane as Moses and Elijah. Do you see that? You know something else that comes out about this point right here? When you built something, you planned on staying there. Peter didn't want to come down. You wouldn't either. Amen or not. He wanted to stay up on that mountain. I'm getting ahead of myself. But the fact of the matter is, he was putting the Lord Jesus on the same plane with Moses and on the same plane with Elijah. Notice what happened when he made that statement. Verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God the Father steps on the scene and he begins to testify about his Son. I'm telling you, this ought to bless your heart right here. Now get this. Here he is. He's making this suggestion. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 tabernacles. And while he's speaking, a bright cloud comes over them. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What I hear in this is I hear a testimony. Now, I'm going to give you some things that come out about the Lord Jesus Christ, only about him. Number one, under this, God the Father is testifying that he, Jesus, is mercy and he is grace. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse number 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Now, it's interesting that often divine presence, God's presence, was accompanied by a cloud in the Word of God. You see that in Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 and 22. Exodus chapter 19, verse 9, chapter 40, verse 34, and verse 38. Numbers, verse 14. But it's that God spoke twice from a cloud. He spoke twice. Once in the old, once in the new. And it's interesting that the first time he speaks from a cloud, he was giving the Ten Commandments. This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. It says, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount of the cloud and of the thick darkness with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in 2 tables of stone and delivered them unto me. This is referring to the scene in Exodus chapter 19, verse 17 through chapter 20, verse 26. Now get this. When God was giving the law, when he was giving the Ten Commandments, there was a cloud of thick darkness. It was darkness that overshadowed. It was a dark cloud that he spoke from. Now get this. Deuteronomy 4:11. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. See, in all of this, with the clouds and thick darkness, this is a symbolization of the judgment of God upon sin. He was saying from the dark cloud that this is my law, and anybody who breaks the law, it is darkness, it is judgment. I will take them down. Yet, when you come to the Mount of Transfiguration and the cloud comes on the scene, it is not a dark cloud, it's a bright cloud. You say, Jody, what's that teaching? That means that God in the Old Testament was speaking in darkness about his law, but in the New Testament, he is speaking in brightness about his beloved Son. And I'm telling you that what he's saying, I'm going to speak to you from a bright cloud. When giving the law, it was judgment, judgment, judgment. But now I'm speaking about my blessed Son and what the law condemns. Listen to me. The grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, my Son, can set you free. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given eternal life, and life is in his Son. Romans 3:20-22, therefore by the deeds of the law, flesh be justified in his sight. Darkness, darkness, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, Moses, Elijah, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We see here that the bright cloud teaches us in testifying about Jesus Christ that mercy and grace come by him. Number two, testimony number two, he is the Son of God. We see this in verse 5. He says, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son.
You know, the second thing we notice about this testimony is how the Father made it clear and made it plain that Jesus Christ is His beloved Son. In other words, He is of the same essence. He is of the same nature that God the Father is. In a nutshell, what God the Father is saying is, this My Son is co-equal. He is coexistent. He is God. And I'm going to tell you something. You deny that Jesus is God, you're not going to heaven. It's impossible for a child of God to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. By the way, that doesn't shed doubt. That sheds assurance. Somebody says, I don't believe Jesus is God. I believe He was a good man, but I don't believe He was God. That person's lost. Amen or not? Jesus Christ is not just a good man. He's the God man. He is God in human flesh. John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. As we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 2 John 1:3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in love. John 5:18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. John 20:28, and Thomas answered and said unto Him, Jesus, the Son, my Lord and my God. I'm glad this morning that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, aren't you? If He wasn't the Son of God, we're lost. If He was not who He said He was, we're all going to burn in hell, every one of us. I'm glad He was who He said He was. We're noticing, number three, the testimony about Him. What is it? He is mercy. He is grace, the bright cloud. He is the Son of God. Number three, He's well-pleasing to the Father. Verse number five, again, notice it. It says, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well-pleased. You ought to underline those words, in whom. In whom I am well-pleased. You know what this means? This means that the Heavenly Father is pleased and approves of the Lord Jesus Christ. He approves of Him. He's pleased with Him. Now the following is an interesting thought that comes out in the Word of God. God the Father says, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Yet in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, sometimes we're far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And notice how the Father said He is well pleased in His Son. In His Son. And yet if you're saved, you are in Christ. Which means that if you're in Christ, since God the Father is pleased with Jesus Christ the Son, if you're in Him, He's pleased with you this morning. That's all through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Then there's a fourth thing about His testimony. Oh, He's mercy and grace. That's the bright cloud. He's the Son of God. He's co-equal, co-existent. He is God in coming human flesh. He is well-pleasing to the Father and accepted. And if you're in Him, so are you. Then number four, He's to be heard. We notice this in verse number five, in whom I am well-pleased, hear ye Him. The Heavenly Father was telling the disciples that they were to hear the Lord Jesus Christ and whatever He had to say. In other words, they were to give Him their attention, believe His word, and obey everything He said to do. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, please. That's one thing I got from Dr. Cumber, because I typically say folks, but I put ladies and gentlemen right here in my notes. Ladies and gentlemen, This is what we have today in the Word of God. This book right here is not just a book of stories. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is preserved for us in the King James Version of the Bible, and we are lifting that standard high and holy. And I'm telling you this morning that these words are the words of God. This is God's Word. These are the words, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's saying, "Hear my Son." You know what we need to do in our Christian life? Take time every day to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration and hear ye Him. Do you have a time in your life every day where you read the Bible? You know what was encouraging to me was when Dr. Comfort asked that question during the week, and probably a majority of people in this church are reading the Bible every day. That's one reason the blessing of God's on this church. You know what I think? I think every person, and I know, and I don't only think it, I know it, every child of God needs to be reading the Bible every day. If we go to the Word of God and hear the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us through His blessed Spirit, God will meet with us. No doubt about it. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Luke 6, 4, Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" I want you to hold your place here, but I want you to flip to the book of 2 Peter with me just a moment. Hold your place here because we're coming back to it. Now, Peter was one of the disciples who was up with the Lord, correct? Yes. He saw a great sight, right? Sure he did. I mean, he saw the Lord transfigured. He saw part of the glorified Christ. What a great, great sight he saw. And yet in the Word of God, God inspires him to say something. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15 and following. "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," notice this, "but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." What do you think He's talking about? He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, folks. "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.'" In other words, He's rehearsing Matthew 17, look at verse 18. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with Him in the Holy Mount," Now notice this. He's saying, "We heard this voice. We saw His glory." Notice verse number 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." You know what he's saying right there? We have something more dependable than that. We have something that's more dependable than what I saw with my eyes. Now, what's he saying? "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn, the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now you can flip back to Matthew chapter 17. Wait on me there. Let me paraphrase what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, "Listen, we didn't follow cunningly devised fables." He said, "We gave you the truth because we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We saw His majesty with our own eyes. And we heard the voice from His Father who gave Him glory and honor that day, saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.'" We saw it. We heard it. We saw it with our eyes, we heard it with our ears, but I want you to know something. The Word of God is more dependable than that. This is where you hear the Lord. Are you taking time to hear Him? If you're not, what a better day to start than today. If you are, keep it up. Even when he feels like he's 10,000 miles away, You keep reading His precious word. Keep reading it. Then there's a fourth thing about the Lord found in our text. We've noticed today, we've noticed the transfiguration of Him. We've noticed the talking with Him. We've noticed the testimony about Him. And then number four, let's notice the touch by Him. We see this in verses 6-8. Now notice what happened. And when the disciples heard it, the Father's voice, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now I'm trying to paint that picture in your mind. Can you see them lying down prostrate on their face? They are scared, slapped to death. You would be too, folks. So would I. If a bright cloud came over our heads and you started speaking, this is my beloved son. I'll tell you one thing, I wouldn't be looking up and saying, who are you? It'd scare me to death too. They're scared. They're lying prostrate. But notice verse number 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Beautiful, isn't it? When the disciples heard God's voice speaking, they fell on their face and were very afraid. What an awful thing this must have been for these three men. There they were on their faces in fear. I can see them in awe at what had just happened when all of a sudden they feel a touch. And it's Jesus. And He says, arise and be not afraid. And when they looked up, everything was gone. But Jesus standing right there alone. Now I see two things about this touch. I love studying the Bible. I love it. Two things about this touch. Number one, it was a comforting touch. He simply came to them, touched them, and comforted them that there was nothing to be afraid of. You know, He has comforting and calming the troubled heart with His special touch. Special touch. You ever been in trouble in a trial and the Lord, by His Spirit, touches you and He comforts you and He calms you down? You know, a great study would be to travel through the Word of God and look at every time the Lord touched somebody. In Matthew 8:3, He touched and healed a leper. In Matthew 9:30, He touched and healed two blind men. In Mark 7:33-35, He touched and healed a deaf and a dumb man. But in our text here, He's touching a troubled heart of three of His disciples. They're afraid. They're scared. They don't even want to look up. And He walks over to them. And He touches them. Comforting. I wonder this morning, do you need a special touch from Jesus? Is there something in your heart that's got you scared? That's got you trembling? That's got you afraid? And it's got you where you feel like you can't even lift your eyes toward heaven? Can I ask you to do something? Come to this altar and say, Jesus, pass by my heart and give me a touch today. It's a comforting touch. Number two, it was a lingering touch. You say, what's that mean? The point I'm trying to make here is this, that when these people looked up, when these disciples looked after His touch, they saw no man but Jesus only. This touch calls them to center their complete attention upon the center of God. You know, in the same way, we need to see the Lord Jesus Christ and have Him center our attention on Him today. John 12:21, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, I want what this morning have your eyes focused on? You are centered on something. Looking at something or someone. It could be the trial. It could be the sin. It could be another person. It could be something. And I'm telling you that when Jesus touches you, what it does is it calls you to look that touch is coming from. Don't you see? And when you look to Him, it'll calm your heart. It'll comfort you through the trials of life. Now, after the disciples and Jesus came down from this mountain. Now get this. Look at verse number 9. And as they came down from the mountain. Here's what I'm trying to say to you as I'm trying to conclude this message. That doesn't mean you're concluding now, please. Just sit there quietly and listen to me, please. This experience didn't last forever. There came a day when they had to come down off that mountain. And when they came down, the trials of life hit them right back in the face again. You can read it for yourself. There were trials and all these. There were pressures of life. But the point I'm trying to make is this mountain scene they would never forget. In this particular scene, we see the Lord giving a preview to him that when they came apart and to us in the pages of the Word of God of what it's going to be like some glorious day when he comes back to this earth. If you'll notice, the saints who are raptured will be there. That's Elijah. Because he was taken out of here alive. He's a picture of that. Saints who have died will be there. That's Moses. Saints on the earth will be there. I'm talking about in the revelation that we're saved and you know, through the tribulation will be there. The disciples, the glorified Christ and all of his beauty we will behold. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face. Right? 1 John 3:1-2. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I'm looking forward to the day when I see the Lord as he is. That's the Mount of Transfiguration. And may we all get a glimpse today and go up on that high mountain apart and see him transfigured. Hear the talking with him and Moses and Elijah. Hear the testimony by his Father from the bright cloud and feel his sweet touch that comforts and centers our attention upon him. May the Lord add his blessing upon this message. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you. I pray for this service. I thank you for the good attention of these dear people. Thank you for them coming this way. I do not take for granted that they have come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I pray that you'll speak to them and speak to me. Help us, I beg you. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared and ready. I wonder today, if Jesus Christ came today, would you go with him? This is simply a preview of what it's going to be like for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I wonder today, if he came back now, going with him as your Savior. If you're sure without a doubt that heaven is your home, you're not thinking it, you're not hoping it, you know that heaven is your home. You've trusted Christ and Christ alone. If and only if you know that, with God watching you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. You can put your hands down. There's some in here who could not raise your hand. Can I say one thing to you? Thank you for being honest. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. The world would laugh at me as a preacher for preaching that Jesus Christ is coming back again. But can I remind you something? They've laughed all through history. They laughed at Lot when he said the fire was going to fall. It didn't stop the fire, did it? They laughed at Noah when he said the flood was going to come, but it didn't stop the flood from coming. They're laughing today, thinking they have all the time in the world. But my friends, this is no joking matter. If you don't know the Lord, you're living on dangerous territory. And I'm asking you to make a decision today.
Is there one today, say, Jody, I was honest a minute ago. I could not raise my hand saying I know I'm going to heaven. But I'll tell you this, if Jesus Christ came back today, I don't want to be left behind. I want to go be with Him. I want to be saved. I want to know the Lord as my Savior. Is there one like that today? We're not going to come to your seat and embarrass you at all. But if you say, Jody, that's me. I want to be saved. I don't want to play games. I want to be saved. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? All over the building? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. I'm looking. All over this building. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? I'm looking. Let me ask you this question. You're a Christian today. Do you need to come apart? May I remind you that this experience did not happen until the disciples came apart with Jesus. I wonder, how's your coming apart doing? Are you setting time aside every day where you come apart from the cares of the world and you commune with Him? I wonder, are you taking time to hear the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it? You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I need to come apart. I need to come apart. And God is speaking to me about that. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You need to come apart. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And put your hands right back down. How many else will say, Jody, I'm here today. And I can identify with those disciples who were laid out prostrate and fearful and afraid. You say, Jody, there's something in my life. It may be a sickness. It may be a death of a loved one. It may be a family trial. It may be something that's happening to you. It may be something at school, something at work, something at home. And you say, Jody, I need a touch from God. I need that comforting, centering touch from Jesus Christ. Let me be honest. Say, Jody, I need that touch today. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. I need that touch. Several hands. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to ask every one of you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. But I'm going to ask every one of you who raised your hand to come to this altar and ask the Lord to touch you. This is not some mysterious thing. This is simply you bringing your needs to the Lord and telling Him how you're feeling. Be honest with Him. And He'll touch you today and comfort you and center your attention on Himself. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a great way in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing, God is working. If He's speaking to you, would you leave your place? Come right now. Would you do it?
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Keep on singing.
Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in Thy presence humbly I bow. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is Thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
You're still standing, you can look this way. I'd like for many of our ladies, if you feel led, Rachel Morrison's up here on her knees. I just got her permission to do this. She found out this week, late last week, that her cancer has returned. And I'd like for several of our ladies, if you wouldn't mind, to come and just surround her here. Miss Lashley is praying with her, and I'd like for several of our ladies to come be with her and pray with her here. No doubt about it. Sing that first verse together, shall we?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Amen. This is Lily Woodard. Lily, if you want to stand and you're there with your grandmother, and we're so proud to have your family with us. She has been saved, and she wants to come make it public today, and she wants to join our church by baptism. We're not going to baptize you today, okay? That's good, but we're so thrilled for you. Have you happy for her? Say a big amen. We're excited for you. You're a beautiful little thing. I might put a good word in with my son, okay, if that's all right. That'd be good. Wonderful. We're going to pray together. Hey, church, listen to me, please. Don't ever take for granted that we're seeing people saved, seeing their lives changed. If you're visiting with us today, let me remind you, please take your card out to the Welcome Center. Drop it off. We've got a special gift for you. If you're around somebody that you do not recognize, make sure you don't leave the same way. Shake their hand. Say, I'm glad you're here. Be honest with them. Say, you know, I don't recognize you. Forgive me if you've been coming for 8 years, but I don't recognize you. And shake somebody's hand, okay? I hope many of you ladies will come by and shake Lily's hand and her dear grandmother. We're so thrilled that they're here. I'm going to ask Nathan, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to dismiss us in prayer.